If you have your Bibles with me, please take them to the book of Proverbs. Usually we go through the book of Proverbs on Wednesday night. And so I'm swapping it around a little bit, let some of you know on Sunday morning what you miss on Wednesday night. How about that? You know, the book of Proverbs is God's book of wisdom. If there's ever been a generation that needed wisdom, it's this generation. If you don't think you need wisdom, you probably need it the most. And the truth is that God has plenty of wisdom. He has plenty of answers. But we just have to listen to what he has to say. And so the book of Proverbs is full of that. And we're going to pick up where we left off last time as we were studying this book. I'm in Proverbs 16 and starting to read in verse number 16. Proverbs 16 and verse 16, the Bible says this: "How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver." You know, I think I need to read that again. I don't think I read it right. If you notice the punctuation mark, have you ever looked at the punctuation marks in the Bible? There are two exclamation points in that verse, so I'm supposed to do that with some excitement. It's supposed to go like this: "How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He that handleth the matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." I want to preach this morning on something better. If you notice, when we started verse 16, it said, "How much better is it to get wisdom than gold?" And then also, if you drop down to verse 19, "Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly." 20 times in the book of Proverbs, it tells you what's better. As a matter of fact, in this same chapter, would you look at verse 32? He says in verse 32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. In chapter 17, would you look there? Proverbs 17, verse 1, "Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife." One more time, chapter 19, Proverbs 19, verse 1, "Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool." So many times God lets you know what is better. You know, God probably has something better for you than what you have right now. You know, God has a better life than you can make on your own. God's things are always better. As a matter of fact, there's a book in the New Testament that really enumerates all the better things that God has for you if you'll come to Jesus. It's the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 1, the Bible says that Jesus is better. Amen. He's the best choice. He's better than anybody else you would ever want to love or ever want to listen to. The Bible says he's better than the angels even. The scripture tells us in the book of Hebrews that God has a better hope for us. If we have only hope in this life, we are of all men most miserable. But God has a better hope. The Word of God tells us in the book of Hebrews that the Lord has a better covenant that's established on better promises. You know, I tell you what, I don't care which politician it is, most of those promises don't ever ring true, and probably promises that friends that you've had have made to you didn't come to pass, and things that you counted on. But the Bible says that God's promises are better promises than any promise you could ever have from a man or that the world could ever give you. The Scripture tells us in the book of Hebrews that there's better sacrifices. There was a better sacrifice than those sacrifices that were made in the Old Testament. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the sacrifices that we can even make. The Bible says there's a better substance. God has a better and an enduring substance. You know, whatever you try to grab down here, and it's really our first point in the book of Proverbs this morning, that which is better. Whatever you try to grab on here, it's going to canker, it's going to rust, it's going to pass away. You're going to lose it, you're going to spend it, somebody's going to steal it. But God says there is a better substance. There is a better and enduring substance that He has in heaven. Everything God has is better. Everything is better than what the devil would offer you or you would try to find yourself. The Bible tells in Hebrews 11, 16 that God has a better country. Thank God for that. Now, I'm thankful that I was born in America. I'm thankful that I have the freedoms that I have. I'm thankful, you know, I tell you what, I've been around the world. I don't know of another place that I would choose to live. Because I know what it means to live in other nations. I'm thankful for my country. But boy, isn't our country a mess? And guys, it's going to get worse no matter who wins the election. It may be 8 more years or 16 years or how many more years if the Lord doesn't come. But I mean, trouble's coming. It's brewing. But you know what? I got a better country. If my whole country falls, I got a better nation. I've got a better land. Do you have a better? You have a better country? The Bible tells us those better things that God has for it. He's got a better resurrection. You know, every man's going to be raised one of these days from the dead. But there's a better resurrection. There's an awful resurrection. It's called the resurrection of damnation. But you can have a better resurrection. And then there are better things that God has for us. I wondered this morning, do you want what's better? Or are you just going to settle? You're just going to settle for, you know, mediocre and not so good and not so hot? Or will you let God give you what is better? Would you look at our text together? He said in Proverbs chapter 16, just three things this morning from the Bible. He said in Proverbs 16:16, how much better it is to get wisdom than gold and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. If I had a briefcase this morning filled with gold bars, and then over here I had the wisdom of God, which one do you think would be a better gift to grab a hold of? Now, you know, we can be very pious, but if I had let's just go from the briefcase. If I had a suitcase full of $100 bills, you know, you can put a lot of $100 bills in a suitcase. Don't ask me how I know that. I just know that. Amen. You can put a lot of $100 bills. But if I had a suitcase full of $100 bills, and on the other side I had the wisdom of God, which would you take? Oh, preacher, I'd take the wisdom. I'd like to see that in a room with a camera and nobody's looking. All right, you can go in that room and you can pick door number one or door number two and whichever one you want. And you can even peek and see what's in the suitcase. And if there was a little letter in there from God, here's my wisdom. If you take this, you can have my wisdom. And the other suitcase is just packed full of cash. What do you think's better? You think it's better to be rich or better to be wise? That's a question I'd say 99.9% of every human being on the face of the earth, they wouldn't even think about it in a heartbeat. It would be the gold and the silver is much better than anything God could teach me. Because you know why? That's what people are after. Let me ask you a question this morning. What are you after? Are you after God? Are you after God's truth? Are you after God's wisdom? Most people, the pursuit of their life is to have a successful life. Have a good job, a good paying job, to have a nice, comfortable life, to get as much money as they can. But at the end of the day, that's not better. You know how we know that? All you have to do is interview the people that have done all that and been there. As a matter of fact, do you know who wrote Proverbs 16:16? How much better it is to get wisdom than gold. You know who wrote that? The richest man on earth. You think about that. You know, it's like these teenagers and young people sometimes. They think that they want to go explore the world and the flesh and the pursuits of just, you know, the satisfaction of the flesh or whatever I want. And not knowing that some of us have already done that and it comes up zero. Right? But in their mind, they think, man, I've got to experience that for myself. When those that have already experienced that will tell you, look, there's nothing to that. There's nothing to the wine, the women, and the song. There's nothing to it. And look, the same thing could be said right here. This is the most wealthy man on the face of the earth, Solomon. I mean, he had so much money, didn't know what to do with it. When you start making, you know, your dishes out of gold and silver, I mean, you know, you're reaching at what to spend your money on. This guy had more money than he could spend, more money he wouldn't know what to do with. You know what he said? He said, you know, one day God asked me what I wanted, and I told him I needed wisdom. And God gave me wisdom, but in addition to that, God gave me all the wealth of the world. I mean, look, when you got ships coming in constantly every month bringing you gold and silver and peacocks and apes, you ever read that in the Bible? I mean, this guy had his own zoo delivered to him. I mean, he's got spices delivered from all over. That means he had all the culinary joys of every type of food. He had everything in the world delivered to him. This is the richest guy in the world. He said, I tell you what's better. It's not that money. It's not the gold. It's not the silver. Gold's pretty high right now. You know, the price per ounce of gold, I don't know what it is, but it's way on up there. It's probably going to climb more and more as our paper money goes down. But you can have all the gold you want, and there's something better than gold. There's something better than a big house. There's something better than a nice car. There's something better than all your bills being paid. Because at the end of the day, you know what the same guy said that wrote this? He said, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. It'll never be enough. So what are you after? Used to, the sin of America used to be materialism. When I first started out in the pastorate many, many years ago in the 90s, that's what the message had to be. People just pursued materialism. I think somewhat that may have changed, but the problem is still there. And the love of money is the root of all evil. And the Bible says there's something better than money. There's something better than gold. There's something better than a good job. So are you pursuing what's better? You know what the Bible says in the book of Colossians? He says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, that in Jesus Christ, in Him, listen, in Jesus, are hid all the treasures. All the treasures are hidden in Jesus Christ. And everything you need, you can find in Him. And every other pursuit is going to come up hollow, and you'll be dissatisfied. He tells us in verse 16, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. Then begins telling you what wisdom will do for you. Look, drop down to verse 20. Look how many times he uses the word. Verse number 20, he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. Look at verse 21. The wise in heart shall be called prudent. He said in verse 23, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth. He's talking about all the things that wisdom will give you that's better that money cannot buy. Look at the first thing wisdom will give you that money can't buy for you. He says in verse 20, would you look at that? He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. You know money can't buy happiness. But you know wisdom can bring you happiness. You know how wisdom brings you happiness? The wisdom of God does this. It says, trust in the Lord. God's wisdom says you need to. You know, the Bible says if you'll trust in the Lord, you'll be happy. Did you see that in the Bible? How many people in life want to be happy? Just about all of them, right? I've never met somebody say, when I grow up, I want to be miserable. No, everybody wants to be happy. Well, the prescription's right here. He said, if you trust in the Lord, he that trusts in the Lord, happy is he. But look, a lot of people don't trust in the Lord. They're trusting in their money. They're trusting in what they can do. Where's your faith? You know, faith, wisdom says this. Wisdom says faith is better. It's better to trust in the Lord. He says this in another place in the Bible. It's better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in men, in man. It's better for us just to trust. What's better in this day? Just trust God. It is. You say, you know, the world says that's foolish. They said these religious people, they have to have something to grab hold of to get through life. So they grab hold of some fictitious God and fictitious promises just to get them through life because they can't cope in reality. You know what? They're not doing very well coping in reality. But the Bible says this, there is a God and there are real promises. And if you'll just trust God, you'll be happy. You know why you're not happy? Because you're not trusting in the Lord. Faith brings happiness in your heart. That's why those boys can sit in jail and sing praise to God. That's why they can get beat by the chief priests and the elders, and they can come out just rejoicing, praising God. I tell you what, I've not been beat too many times and walked out just shouting the victory. You can only do that if you're trusting in the Lord. Now let me ask you, don't you think faith is better than fear? We're still living in a fearful time, aren't we? Not just fearful about health, fearful about a lot of things. Can you trust the Lord? It'll make you happy. You say, preacher, you don't know my circumstances. You don't know my family life. Won't you trust the Lord? You say, well, does that just make it go away? No, but it'll make you happy. You see that? It'll help your heart to trust God. And look, I've never seen God let anybody down. I've never seen God fail. I've seen God not do what I want him to do. But that Bible says, and I believe this is the Word of God, I believe it's true and altogether right. And he says in this verse, in verse number 20, whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. That's true the day I got saved. When you trust the Lord for your salvation, he makes you happy. I never knelt down with somebody that trusted God and got saved and got up and said, boy, that was awful. No, it fills your heart with gladness. Sin will fill your heart with pain. And by the way, getting rich won't fill your heart with happiness. It'll drive you crazy trying to figure out how you're going to keep it. And you'll buy more security systems. And some of the real rich, they got to have bodyguards. They can't even drive themselves down the road. No, that doesn't bring happiness. Trusting in God brings happiness. Let me ask you, are you trusting in the Lord? It's a better life. It's better to trust in God than trust in your 401k plan. It's better to trust in God than trust in the economy of the United States. How foolish is that? Oh, the Treasury Department will bail us out. When is the trillion going to stop, you know? Oh, what's after the trillion? I don't even know the next number. Brother Root, what's the next number? Quadrillion. Okay. That's where we're headed. You can't trust in that. It's just better to trust the Lord. So I'll figure this out. I'll figure my life out, and I'll figure how to keep myself healthy and well and safe. You know, you can't even keep yourself safe. Did you know that? The Bible says safety is of the Lord. The truth is, if somebody took a contract out on you, they'd take you out no matter how many guns you got in the house. They'd wait till you step out of the house. Is that right? I mean, look, the only place there's safety is in trusting God. And that's a better life. It's better than gold. You know what else wisdom tells us? Wisdom's got a lot better words for us. Would you look at verse 21? The wise in heart shall be called prudent. I want you to look at these words of the scripture. It's wonderful. In verse 21, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Do you see that in the Bible? And then drop down to verse 23. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Verse 24, pleasant words are as a honeycomb. Look at it. Sweet to the soul and health to the bones. You know what? Wisdom has better words. It not only tells us a place for our faith that's better, it's got better words. It has sweet words. It has words for our heart. It has words that cause us to increase and learn. It has pleasant words. Now, sometimes they bite a little bit. But you know, the words of God are like this. Sometimes they're hard to swallow, but afterwards it's sweet. I don't know if you remember the text in Revelation where the angel came to John and said, eat this book. And he ate the book and he said, as soon as I ate it, it was bitter. You know. But you know, the thing about God is the things of God sometimes are hard to swallow. They're hard to chew on. And you know, they hurt a little bit. But when they settle down, it brings sweetness. Bob Jones Sr. said this. He said, you know how the devil does? The devil puts all the sweetness on the top of the cup. Listen. The devil puts all the sweetness on the top of the cup. And so you start drinking and it's so sweet. You start living the life he wants you to live and it's just so wonderful. But the deeper and the deeper you go down in that cup, the more bitter and the more awful the drink gets. But here's what the Lord does. The Lord puts the bitter part on the top. You say, God's got a better part. Yeah, and it's like this. You take a sip of the words of God and it says, you know, you're a sinner. You're wicked. You're evil. You're wrong. You need to repent. You need to get right with God. You don't know anything and you can't do anything. I can do all things through Christ, but I can't do anything. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. That's a hard pill to swallow for some people. But the deeper you go down the cup of the Lord, the sweeter and sweeter and sweeter it gets. Wisdom says God's got better words. He's got sweet words. It's like honey in a honeycomb. We were given some honey the other day. Don't you like honey? Honey's good for you. It's good for your bodies and all that stuff. You know, some of these people think honey and vinegar will cure everything. Maybe it will. I don't know. Honey's good, sweet. It's wonderful. And the Bible says that's how God's wisdom is. That's how God's word is. He tells us that book in Psalm 19 is sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. God has pleasant words and sweet words. You know what? That's better than bitter words. That's better than angry words. Guys, have you ever seen so much angry words in your life? They're on the TV, they're on the internet, they're on the radio. People just fill with hate. They hate each other. And the vitriol that goes back and forth, and the insults, and people on the street, and the blast, it's not just that. It's not just in the political world. It's the blasphemies and the filthy talk. That's not sweet talk. And by the way, I want to say something to you parents right quick. Would you look in your Bible down here just a second? He says in verse 21, the wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. You know what? You know what God needs in our homes? He needs our homes to be sweet. Lester Roloff said this, keep in touch with Jesus and he'll keep you sweet. This world needs to see something that's better than anger and better than bitterness and better than blasphemy. Needs to see something sweet, and that's only found with God. You know, probably one of the greatest things children need, they need sweet words in the home. Amen. Because I'm no preacher, they need discipline, and they need correction, they need instruction. Yeah, but if you don't put some sweetness in it, they're not going to learn anything. You see that right there in the Bible? He said, the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. We need to have a sweet life. We need to have a joyful life. We need to have smiles on our faces. There ought to be something about the sweetness of God that's in our lives. And that is so much better than all the hate and the anger and the bitterness. And this morning, if you're angry and if you're bitter about something, I just want to tell you, God's got something better for you. He's got something sweet for you. I think maybe Sweet Springs, you guys remember this from my brother was here. There's something mighty sweet about the Lord. There's something mighty sweet about the Lord.
It really doesn't matter what the world may say. There's something mighty sweet. There's something sweet about God. Now listen, if you're not sweet, there's something wrong with you. You need to get to God. You need to get to the better God that has a better life and a better heart. Are you sweet this morning? I always know when I'm getting right where I need to be. There needs to be a sweetness with husbands and wives. There needs to be a sweetness with parents and children. There needs to be a sweetness in the church and sweetness in your life. All that comes from God. Better. I don't know about you, but I think a sweet life is a lot better than a bitter life. Than a perverted life. And God's wisdom can do that. God's words can heal your heart. God's words can help our hearts. God's words can make us sweet and change our life and give us a different life than folly. You see in verse 22, he said, understanding is a wellspring of life. These are words of life, wonderful words of life. God has life for us. Not death, not desperation, not destruction, but life. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it. But the instruction of fools is folly. That fool and that folly and that wicked life, it doesn't end in sweetness. I say there's something better than gold. There's something better than fear. There's something better than bitterness. Look at verse 18 with me, would you please? You're listening well, but we got more ground to cover. He said in verse 18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Look at the next word of verse 19. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. There's not only something better than gold, there's something better than pride. Pride. Every one of us are eat up with pride. There's all types of pride. People don't get saved because of pride. They won't humble themselves. Christian people won't come to church because of pride. They don't need it. We'll let the lowly people go and get what they need. We don't pray because of pride. You know why that is? We don't need God's help. We got this. I got it, God. Oh, wouldn't it be good if we saw how bankrupt and needy we were and we just went to God constantly? Oh, Lord, I need your help. Pride says, I don't need to go to God for help. I'm doing okay. And God says it's better. It's better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than have the pride of heart. Why? Because pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before fall. Let's interview a few people. Tell us, Mr. Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar, that gloated in all your kingdom and you ruled the whole world and you walked around your palace and you just enjoyed and looked at the things that you had built. Look what I've done. Tell us about it. Is pride better, Mr. Nebuchadnezzar? Oh, no. He wrote a whole treatise for his whole kingdom after God got through with him and said, hey, pride isn't a better way. Humility is a better way because God took his mind away. God took his mind away and he groveled like an animal on the ground. How about you, Mr. Herod? We'd like to interview, ask you. You are a proud man. You're in your royal robes and you're coming out to speak to the people and your oratory is so impressive to the people that are listening. They say that you're a god and they praise you and they lift you up. Tell us about it. Is pride better? Wasn't that great, Herod? How many people loved you and adored you? And he says, no, because I didn't give God the glory, and because of that, God ate me up of worms. I tell you what, there's a lot of ways to die. I don't want to be eaten up of worms. You know, worms will destroy your body after you're dead. This guy got it before he died. Worms were eating on his body and killed him before he even died. Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. You know what the spirit of Christianity is? The spirit of Christianity is humility. You know, why do we have an altar of prayer? We don't have an altar of prayer to impress anybody. We don't have an altar of prayer for a religious exercise. What we have an altar of prayer for is so that people would get in the habit of humbling themselves. Because we're eat up with pride. And God says, you're proud, you're going to fall. If our nation falls, it'll probably be because of one thing. There's national pride. Oh, we're the best. Man, we're nothing without God. There's all types of pride. This athletic pride, you know, these athletes. I'm number one. I'm the fastest. I'm the greatest. I'm the strongest. I'm the most talented. That's just pride. You don't see very many humble athletes. I remember they used to, I'll give a little Bear Bryant story here for brother. You know, they came to Bear Bryant, he won all these championships, and every time they lost, he said it was my fault. As a coach, every time they lost, he said, I should have done a better job coaching. And every time they won, he always said, the players did a good job, I didn't do anything. I wonder how many times we have to take credit. We've got to get the credit. We've got to get the pat on the back. God says there's a better life than that. How about some other types of pride? How about moral pride? I'm not like those people out there. All these perverted people in society, I'm not like them. Yeah, I read a story about a guy who went in to pray like that. Lord, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. I'm not like adulterers and fornicators and whoremongers and drunkards and thieves. I'm not like that guy over there, that publican over there. He's got a dirty life, God. You know what God says? I'm not interested in you. I reject you. And I'm telling you this morning, God always resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And the one man that had the humility, he didn't have the moral life that the other guy did. But he had something that was better than morality. It's called humility. Was that hard to hear? Because moral people go to hell. You know that, don't you? There's another type of pride. How about religious pride? Oh, I've dealt with that. We were over in Romania and we're over in Greece and we're telling people, I'm Orthodox. Well, I don't care. What do I care? It's like that guy led to Jesus, you know, and he was witnessing, and they were, this priest was giving him down the road. He said, man, I'm born Orthodox. All these people born Orthodox. And the guy looked at him and said, I don't know about that. I was born a sinner. I've heard people tell me I'm Catholic, I was born Catholic, and I'll die Catholic, right? You know what that is? That's religious pride. Right. Just like the Jews had religious pride. They had a lot of pride in their religion, but they didn't know God. We can just blame it on other religions. But I've seen some Baptists that need to let go of their pride too and humble themselves. Religious pride. Maybe it's this, I go to church. Well, that's good. But that's nothing to be proud about. We go to church because we're so needy. We go to church because God told us to, and we need help from the Lord. There's a better life than the life of pride. Can I say it without going to jail? There's racial pride. It don't matter which race. Right? I'm white. So? It's not like you did that. I'm black. So? And what does that mean? Doesn't mean a thing. Why do people have pride? They just pick something. I tell you what, I've seen this other type of pride. I've seen intellectual pride. Yeah. Come on. You people that have never had an education. When I was in the university getting my degree, you know, my Greek teacher, he would look down his nose, you boys don't know the Bible. Let me tell you the Bible. And he didn't know the Bible either. He just knew Greek and Hebrew. And hieroglyphics and Arabic. But see, because he knew all that, he looked down his nose and said, you need to come to me and let me tell you. Yeah, I don't just have an undergraduate degree. I've got a graduate degree. But you know what? There's no difference than me and the dirt farmer down the road.
Right. Amen.
Oh, I know so much. No. We all need to just humble ourselves. There's something better than pride. And that's to have a humble spirit. Oh, the need of our lives to have that. It's a better life to live. Some people have pride in their family, pride in their accomplishments. We could go on and on. But every time, it doesn't matter what kind of pride it is, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. I'll give you the last thing this morning. Would you look at verse number 25? Well, first of all, verse 17, and then I'll get to verse 25. Verse 17, the highway. I want you to think about that highway. I want you to ask yourself, what road am I on? What highway am I on? The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his, look at it, that keepeth his way. Now think about the highway and think about his way. Preserveth his soul. Now drop down to verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, there's not something that's just better than gold and better than pride. There's something better than your way. You know, starting from little children, you know what they want? They want their way. I want my way. And then they get 50 and they still want their way. Do you know God's way is better than your way? It's better than my way. This is the way I want to go. No. No, God says, this is the way, walk ye in it. My way is so much better than your way. What highway are you on? Doesn't that remind you of the words of Jesus? It talks about two different ways. He says there's a straight gate. And there's a wide gate. There is a narrow way. And there's a broad way. The majority of people that are on the highway are not on the highway to holiness. They're on the highway to hell. And they're not on a highway to happiness. They're on a highway to misery. God says, I got a better way than you've got. The majority. Do you know the majority? The majority of all people, most of the people you know, are going to nowhere fast. Why do you want to be on that road? Now, here's the question. He said, if you'll go his way, it'll preserve your soul. Do you see that there in verse 17? He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. If you'll go God's way, it'll save you so much heartache. It'll preserve your soul. It'll preserve your innocence. It'll preserve your conscience. It'll preserve your mind. It'll preserve your emotions if you'll just go God's way. But here's the problem, verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. This is not talking about a guy that's wanting to do wrong. This is talking about a guy that thinks he's doing right. Come here now and think about that. This just seems right to me. This seems okay. Do you know, just because it seems right doesn't mean it's right. There is no proof of right just because it seems right. And we sort of live in that environment. Look at verse 2 of chapter 16 real quick. He said in Proverbs 16:2, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit. We think we're right. We think everything's okay. He said in Proverbs 12 and verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. There's a way that seemeth right. Well, I don't see anything wrong with what I'm doing. But it's not about what you think about it. It's what God thinks about it. Because there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Most people think morality is a way to God or religion is a way. That seems right, but it's not right. I wonder how many things in our lives seem right to us. but they're not God's way. And the end thereof, it's just going to be death. It'll be destruction. It'll be misery. And God steps up and he says, hey, I got a better way. I've got a better way than your way. And you can't figure it out. I've already figured it out. You know what the way is? Remember when Jesus Christ stepped up to the plate, amen, on John 14, he said, I am the way. His life is the way. And if your life is not going the way of his life, if your life isn't wrapped up in Jesus Christ, if your way is not wrapped up in Jesus Christ, he said, for to me to live is Christ. If that's not your way's the wrong way. It doesn't matter how much it seems right. God's got something better. Better than gold. Better than pride. And better than your way. As a pastor, so many times, I'm finished, guys. Thank you for listening. As a pastor, so many times, I've beat my head against a wall. Listen, trying to get people to believe that God's way is better than their way. And the majority of the time, I don't buy it. I'll go my own way. I'm telling you, God's way is better. You can choose to go any way you want to go. God's way is better. God's will is better. Go his way, it'll keep your soul. Humble yourself. It's a better life. Don't be after success. Pursue God. It's a better life.